The purpose of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author, his whole purpose in writing is to prove the supremacy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Radha Krishna himself. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come with all the bodily features of Krishna, but he's come with the golden complexion of Radharani and also her Mahabhav, or her unlimited love for Krishna. And very emphatically, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami proves this throughout the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita. The subject matter of Mahaprabhu being Radha Krishna himself it's very explicitly explained within the first 7 chapters. He describes the Panchatattva also. And those beginning chapters are very important for Vaishnavas to study. It's described that Chaitanya Charitamrita is like the postgraduate study of Vaishnavism. A postgraduate means PhD or sometimes master's degrees. A graduate degree is a master's degree, and bachelor's degree is undergraduate. So like in the Bhaktivinoda College, we're doing our bachelor's degrees, our undergraduate degrees. And then after we receive our bachelor's degrees, then we can go to master's degrees. I wouldn't be able to go directly to a master's degree. So in the same way, Bhagavad Gita is compared to the BA, the bachelor's degree. Bhagavatam is the master's degree, and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is the PhD of Vaishnavism. And we're recommended that we should first start with the Bhagavad Gita, then continue on to Srimad Bhagavatam, and then to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Of course, it's not a strict rule. We can always read Prabhupada's books. He wrote his books in such a way that anybody can read them at any time, any place, any place you open up. It's like a rasgulla, he described, right? Anywhere you bite, it's going to be sweet. So that's Srila Prabhupada's books. Just like Shruti Kirti was reading the Krishna book for Srila Prabhupada every night in Los Angeles. And so he said, Srila Prabhupada, where should I, what pastime should I read? He said, it does not matter, just open the book. Every place is sweet. And he said that, it's like a rasgulla. So the point is that we have to realize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead first, before we can understand Mahaprabhu. That's the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna gives all the proof how he is God. He is the Supreme Enjoyer. Bhoktaram jagyatapasam sarvalokamaheshram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantamichati. This is the peace formula in the Bhagavad Gita. 5th chapter, 29th verse. And so he's saying, Bhoktaram jagyatapasam. I am the enjoyer of all jagyas and tapa, and tapa, of all austerities, of all penances. I am that enjoyer. Sarvalokamaheshram. I am the controller, and I am the creator of all the worlds. Suridam sarvabhutanam. I am the best friend of all living entities. Gatvamam shantavrichati. Anybody who knows this about me attains peace. So that's the purpose of the Gita too. Krishna is explaining his supremacy. So we must understand that first. And once we understand that, then we can understand the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam delineates all the avatars of the Lord, all of the pastimes. It describes the material universes, all material knowledge as well as spiritual knowledge. And then it brings us to the 10th canto, the smiling face of the Lord, where Radha Krishna are revealed. Shukadev Goswami reveals this. And we have to go through all 9 cantos before, otherwise we won't understand this. We'll think that it's just lusty pastimes between some boys and girls, some divine Cupid something or other. But no, it's the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. It's God himself, so we have to understand that. And then once you understand Radha and Krishna, then you can understand Mahaprabhu. Because Mahaprabhu, he's the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna. Krishna desired himself. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami explains all this in the beginning chapters. There was many reasons for his appearance. There was internal reasons and external reasons. His internal reason was because he wanted to taste the love that Srimati Radharani has for him. Srimati Radharani's love is unlimited, and she experiences more bliss in being with Krishna than Krishna does in being with her. So he wanted to experience that himself. And that's why he came. He took her mood, and he took her complexion. He became a devotee himself. It's something very similar to what in Christianity they say about Jesus Christ, how he is the Son of God, but he came to teach everybody how to be devotees of God. Actually, he's God himself. Now, Jesus Christ never said that himself, and the same thing with Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu, he would close his ears, Vishnu, Vishnu, whenever somebody would glorify him as God. But there was many pastimes where Mahaprabhu showed himself as Radha Krishna. He revealed to his intimate devotees. To Sarvabhama Bhattacharya, he showed him Sadbhuj, that he's Krishna, Ram, and Mahaprabhu at the same time. And so many intimate devotees, he showed his form as Varahadev, he showed his form as directly Radha Krishna. So Mahaprabhu showed that. It's a very difficult thing to understand. How can God be his own devotee? Right? How can he enjoy thinking about himself all the time? But that's actually everything. We're all parts of God. We're actually God. But we're so small, we're so minute. But we're nothing but Krishna's energy. That's all we are. We're fragments. Mamayavamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Krishna says, the living entities in this world, they're all eternally my fragmented portions. We're all parts of Krishna. We're all parts of God. So actually, there is nothing but Krishna. But at the same time, there's unlimited variegatedness, because Krishna's personality is unlimited. So that way. So one point is that some devotees make a grave mistake in saying that the Bhagavad Gita is just, because I was explaining that it's the bachelor's, it's the, compared to a bachelor's degree, right? It's the lower studies, right? And we have to go to higher studies of spiritual life in order to attain, you know, this rasa, this bhava, right? So this Bhagavad Gita is very elementary. It's there's no rasa in it. And, you know, it's good for the neophytes, but really you have to go beyond it, right? I mean, I've heard this with my own ears, devotees will say like this. Of course, it's there's so many fallacies of that. But my father, I was speaking with my father, he gave a very good example, a very good analogy, that it's something like studying physics, right? So physics is something very few people understand, very few people can apply in life, right? But you can say, theoretically, that quantum mechanics is higher than physics, right? Okay, so you can say like that. But what's the use? I mean, if you can't understand, it's so advanced, it takes so long to figure out what's the point. It's redundant to say that, to make the point that something is higher than another, so you should just go to that first. No, you have to go through the line. And even though there's spiritual hierarchy, right, it's all absolutely one and the same. It's all absolutely transcendental. There's no difference, really, even though we give it hierarchy. First, everything's in the Bhagavad Gita. Everything is there already. To think that you have to go somewhere else, it's a misconception. And if you do understand the purport of Bhagavad Gita, you wouldn't make the same mistake of saying that it's such a low scripture. You have to go to higher scriptures. You have to go to more. So one has to understand like that. Also, my father was telling me one time, my ex-brother-in-law, he's a disciple of Narayana Maharaj, and the disciples of Narayana Maharaj are notorious for discussing these types of things, how we have to go to higher rasas and bhavas, at least the Western disciples, I've seen. And so he went to a meeting because my brother-in-law invited him, and he was just being polite. And what they were discussing there was ridiculous. Who's more advanced, Prahlad Maharaj or the gopis, right? So this is what they're discussing in their meetings, right? And they give so many reasons. Oh yes, Prahlad Maharaj, he's, in the rasa of servitorship, and the gopis, yes, they have so much love, you know, so much conjugal rasa, so they must be better, and so many reasons like that. But first of all, what's your qualification to be talking about this? I mean, first of all, what's your purpose, actually? You know, why are you discussing this? What's the purpose of yourself? What do you hope to gain by talking about things like this? Right? None of our acharyas have ever spoken like this. Right? None of our acharyas would approve of something like this. Right? So what's the purpose of discussing such things? Right? And then who are you to be discussing such things? Right? You're discussing Pulamars, they're so advanced, right? You're not even equal to the spiders who helped Lord Ram create the bridge to Lanka, and you want to discuss who's more advanced, Prahlad Maharaj or the gopis? So we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be very intelligent. Of course, not so many people do that, but it happens. Devotees, you know, regularly try to discuss these things. It's And it's dangerous. I've seen here in Radadesh, it's not so much of a problem. I've never actually seen so many Myanmar disciples. But for coming from Alachua is a big community. This is in Florida, North Florida, in America. And there's many disciples. I mean, they would talk to me, and especially when I was first coming to the temple, they'd try and tell me these types of things. So it was very... Well, it's not that I was confused, but it was a little bit disturbing. Anyways. So I was talking about how the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the purpose is to prove Mahaprabhu's non-difference from Radha and Krishna. Srila Prabhupada would quote one line of a verse very often. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Anya means parts, or so Nahi Anya. There's no difference. There's no distinction between Radha Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's directly him. And what was the other verse? In another bhajan it said, Sakshat Rajanjanandana Jay, Satishuta Hoyose. Sakshat Rajanjanandana Jay. That Rajanjananda, the son of Vrindavan, the boy in Vrindavan, Krishna, that same Krishna has become Satishuta, the son of Mother Sachi, or Vishwambar, Gauranga. Balaram Hoilo Nitai. Balaram has become Nitai, Nityananda. Also, Namo Mahabhava Nyaya, we chant this verse many times when offering prasad or just paying obeisances. Namo Mahabhava Nyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurashe. Namo Mahabhava Nyaya. Mahabhava Nyaya means the most munificent, the most merciful Lord, the most compassionate. Namo Mahabhava Nyaya Krishna Prema Pradaya. Krishna Prema Pradaya. Pradaya means to give, to like in charity. So you're giving Krishna prema, pradayate. I offer my obeisances to you, O munificent Lord. You're giving Krishna prema. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya. You are Krishna himself, Krishnaya. Krishna Chaitanya, namne. But you've come in the name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. You've assumed this name, Gaura Toshe, and you've accepted Gaura Toshe, the golden complexion of Srimati Radharani. I think that was chanted by Rupa Goswami upon seeing Mahaprabhu the first time. He saw Mahaprabhu and he immediately chanted this prayer. No Mahaprabhu Nyaya Krishna. Right. And this opportunity for us to take Mahaprabhu's mercy, it's so great. Mahaprabhu's Krishna Prema Pradayate. He's giving it. He doesn't ask anything in return. All he wants is for us to take it. That's all we need to do. All we need to do is grab on the rope. There's the example of being stuck in a well. Right? If a person's stuck in a well, you can't do anything to help yourself because you can't climb the walls. Nobody will hear you. You're trapped inside of a well in the middle of the forest. But if somebody comes with a rope, right, and puts it down for you, then you're saved. Right? All you have to do is grab the rope. Right? You can't say, oh, please help me put my hands around the rope. No, just take the rope. He's come to save you already. You have to do your personal endeavor. So all the mercy is there. Mahaprabhu is giving us his mercy. It's all there in front of us. All we have to do is take it. When we pray for mercy, it's interesting how it works because we're praying for mercy. Actually, all the mercy is there. Our problem is that we have to take it. So when we pray for mercy, all that we're doing really is praying that let me take the mercy. Let me accept this mercy. It's all being given to me. It's all there in front of me. Mahaprabhu's incarnation is special amongst all other incarnations. A very lamentable thing is that other schools of Vaishnavas can't accept this. They don't think that Mahaprabhu is actually Radha Krishna himself. They believe that he was a great Bengali saint, great Vaishnava, great devotee. But they don't accept that he's Radha Krishna. That's why this Chaitanya Charitamrita has been written, because it was meant to convince the Vaishnavas. Right? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami takes it for granted that we know that Radha and Krishna are supreme. So he doesn't go into deep details into explaining how they're, because naturally one should already be at that platform. So this is meant for convincing the Vaishnavas. Also in modern scholarship, they don't believe that Mahaprabhu was, they don't even accept it theoretically, right? They just think he was a great Bengali saint and he created, you know, the Chaitanya Vaishnav line, So they study it various, like licking the outside of the honey jar, right? They can never go in to actually taste Mahaprabhu's mercy. Very, very lamentable thing. But Mahaprabhu's mercy is different from all other incarnations, and in fact, all other yugas as well. Because Mahaprabhu incarnates in every Kali Yuga. A devotee of the Lord will incarnate every Kali Yuga to teach the Harinam Sankirtan, the Yuga Dharma. That happens every Kali Yuga. But this Kali Yuga is different. Now how is that? It's stated that in one day of Lord Brahma, Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, the original form of Sri Krishna comes. The original form, and that was this Dwapara Yuga 5,000 years ago, Lord Brahma's day, and only after Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna's appearance does Mahaprabhu come and give his special gift that he's come to give, which is love for Radha Krishna in the mood of Vrindavan, in the mood of the Rajvasis. It's not always given. It's not given in every Kali Yuga. It's special. This is special what we have. Raj Prem is different. It's not always given. It's very rare to attain. So, Lord Brahma's day is described in the Bhagavad Gita by Krishna, 8th chapter. Sahasya Yuga Paryantam Aharyad Brahmano Vidu, Rachim Yuga Sahasyantam Tehoracha Vidojana. Sahasya Yuga Paryantam. 1,000 Yuga cycles. A Yuga cycle means the Kali Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, Satya Yuga. That's also called a Maha Yuga. So 1,000 Mahayugas, that consists of the day of Lord Brahma. And then, Rachim Yuga Sahasrantam Teho Racha Vidojana. The same amount of time, 1,000 Yuga cycles, consist of the night of Lord Brahma. So one Mahayuga cycle, that is 4,320,000 years. Right? So multiplied by 1,000, that comes to 4,320,000,000 years. Right? And then you multiply that by 2 because he also has his night. So that's 8,640,000,000,000 years. That's a long time. it's inconceivable. Anyways, that's it's described in scriptures, so we must accept that it's true. So in one day of Lord Brahma, in this 8,640,000,000 years, Swayam Bhagavan comes. Sri Krishna comes in the form of he displays his Vrindavan pastimes. Right? And only for 16 years. He was only there until he was 16 years old. Right? So only in that amount of time, in such a long span of time, Krishna only comes once. Right? And that was 5,000 years ago. It was this Kali Yuga, Dwapara Yuga. It was at the end of this Dwapara Yuga. So we have a very special opportunity. And only after Krishna comes in that form does Mahaprabhu come and give that same love of Krishna. Right? Only after that. Right? Other forms he won't give that type of this Vraja Prem. He'll give I'm not sure exactly what he gives, but that's love for Krishna but in a different, you know, not in the mood of the Rajvasis. Yeah? So look at our good fortune. It's unbelievable. Why is it that us, only 500 years ago Mahaprabhu invented, 523 to be exact, only 523 years ago Mahaprabhu invented, after such a long time, right? We could have been anywhere in the material universe. We could have been in the form of an ant, in the form of a bird, in the heavenly planets, and the hellish planets. We could have been anywhere, but we're here to take the mercy. We're here to receive Mahaprabhu's blessings. We're here to receive this Vraja Prem. This love in the mood of the Rajvasis. It's the supreme goal. It's the highest destination in the spiritual world. And it's given only very rarely, and we're here to attain it right now. So we can't take our opportunity lightly. If we actually knew the extent of the mercy that we're able to receive, we would surrender everything. We would be completely surrendered. If only we could understand this. So I wrote to my Guru Maharaj on his Vyasa Puja day, And I was praying, Guru Maharaj, and you know this mercy of Mahaprabhu. You understand this. That's why you were so dedicated to Srila Prabhupada's movement. That's why you were always preaching, because you understand how rare this gift is. So please give me that, just a drop of that awareness. Just be, if only we could be aware of what it is. Right? Sometimes we may experience that, we become aware of how much mercy it is. And at that time we feel, I have to become a devotee, I have to surrender. Right? So if only we could feel like that all the time. We're so covered over. The heart is so covered over that we can't perceive it. But that's okay. We don't have to worry about it. All we have to do is just try and follow Mahaprabhu's instructions and the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. And that will be enough for us. In the Kali Yuga, Mahaprabhu knows how fallen the living entities are in Kali Yuga. He's the Supreme Lord. He's not in any illusion. He understands more than we understand how contaminated we are. So he's still giving that mercy, right? It's not that he's holding back because of that. It's not that he's only giving it to the most perfect beings who actually understand and who are actually fully aware. No, he's giving it to us. He's giving it to every last one of us. And we all have the opportunity to attain it. All we have to do is try. All we have to do is take the rope. So what is that rope? That's the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, right? Now, that's even another aspect of inconceivable luckiness. You know, it's just luck. How are we here to receive? Okay, Mahaprabhu, first of all, Krishna came. So I am Krishna, the original form of Sri Krishna. He came 5,000 years ago. And then Mahaprabhu came only 500 years ago. Right? But we're here only a few years after Srila Prabhupada's advent. And he created this movement in the mood of Mahaprabhu's mercy. This ISKCON movement is nothing but the mercy of Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada said that it's a branch of the Chaitanya tree. That's all this ISKCON movement is. Right? And that's all it should be. And it shouldn't change. But how are we here to accept it, to get this? For hundreds of years after Mahaprabhu's advent, so many apasampradayas came up. Srila Bhaktisanta Sarasvati Thakur, he named 14 apasampradayas. Aul, Baul, Saki, Beki, Gauranga Nagari, Saki Bekis, you know what they do? They dress up like Sakis, like gopis, right? They're actually men, you know? But they put on saris and they hold tulsi around their head and they go dance in the streets. Apasampradaya. So there's so many bogus forms of religion, forms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's practices that came up after Mahaprabhu's advent, right? And from Bhaktivinoda Thakur onwards, to Srila Bhaktisanta Sarasvati Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, all their whole engagement was destroying these false ideas of Chaitanya Vaishnavism. Everybody thought that the Chaitanya Vaishnavas, they're all just sentimentalist and, you know, what's the word for it? Sexually oriented. Sex mongers. Because that's what they were. They were saying that, yes, we're the followers of Mahaprabhu, and then they would imitate Rasa Leela, right? And so much cheating was going on. In the name of Vaishnavism. Shishirada Gopinath Ki. So that was what Bhaktisanta Sarasvati Thakur had destroyed. But we're here in the middle of America, we have no idea what's anything. Right? Srila Prabhupada comes and he gives us the pure form of Chaitanya Vaishnavism. Beyond any speculation, beyond any contamination. Srila Prabhupada gives it to us in its most pure form, in its unadulterated form. Right, Prabhupada says in the beginning, in the introduction of the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, I just read last night, he says, we come in the line of great spiritual masters, therefore we will not change anything that is said in this book. We won't change anything with our tiny little brains, he said. That was Srila Prabhupada's mood. So all we have to do is follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions. He gave us four regular principles to follow, and he gave us 16 rounds to chant. Now, Srila Bhaktisanta Sarasvati Thakur and Mahaprabhu himself, actually, they said 64 rounds minimum every day. One lakh of holy, lakh means 100,000. So 100,000 names comes out to about 64 rounds. Right? And they said if you can't chant 64 rounds a day, then you're considered patita or fallen. Right? And Krishna won't accept, you know, Mahaprabhu won't accept your offerings unless you're chanting 16 rounds. But Srila Prabhupada gave us 16 rounds, and Kadimakana Swami said, he made a great quote, I remember to this day, he said, Srila Prabhupada lowered the threshold for going back to Godhead. That's his power as the acharya. Right? Srila Prabhupada is the Acharya. He gave, in Mahaprabhu, he'll accept us just as much if we follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions. Right? So this is all we have to do. 16 rounds and 480 principles and go back to Godhead. Prabhupada expressed this many times. I don't know about many times, but on a few occasions, which are very famous, he said, just chanting 16 rounds and following 480 principles, you'll go back to Godhead. Krishna, Mahaprabhu will save you. Because that's all we're doing. We're just holding onto the rope. We don't have to pull ourselves up. We don't have to struggle to try and kick our legs so that we go upwards. No, we'll be pulled up immediately. All we have to do is grab the rope. All we have to do is embrace these things. And it's a small price to pay for the gift which we're given. Very small price. Imagine one lifetime, 100 years. We've been traveling around the material universe for unlimited lifetimes. And now in 100 years, we can go back to Godhead eternally. No more anxiety, no more suffering, pure love, pure relationships, for eternity, only after 100 years. It's such great mercy. That's the mood of Mahaprabhu. Mahavadanyaya. He's the most merciful. So all we have to do is take the opportunity. A devotee once asked Srila Prabhupada, said, Srila Prabhupada, is it really true that by chanting 16 rounds and following the 480 principles, you'll go back to Godhead? Is that just something to encourage us? Are you really telling the truth? And tears came to Prabhupada's eyes. Tears came to Prabhupada's eyes, and he said, do you think I've come all the way here to lie to you? He said, you think I've come all the way here to lie to you? After all this, I'm going to tell you some falseness. So we have to have faith, we have to believe. Just believe, brother. Okay, so I'll stop there for questions or comments. Yes, Mother Jennifer.
Well, I think I know what you meant. You did say, actually, we are God, so I thought you would qualify that a little bit.
Chinti beda beda tattva. Or beda, abheda. Beda means different, and abheda means the same. So abheda, we're non-different from God. We're nothing but God's energy. We're nothing but Krishna himself. Krishna, Srila Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, I think, the 7th chapter, says in one purport that actually we're nothing but Krishna. Everything is Krishna. The flowers are Krishna. The scent is Krishna. The earth is Krishna. Everything is Krishna. Right? So that's there. That's explained through all the Vedic scriptures, through all the Upanishads, through all the Vedanta. But the other side is also stressed just as much. The same amount of stress, that everything, there's so much variety, there's so much difference. Right? We're all different from God. We're all individual sparks of spiritual energy. So we're devotees of God. Right? We're connected. In this way, we're connected with God eternally, because we're nothing but Him. But we're also our own individual persons, eternally. That's what the verse means. Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Sanatana means eternally. Mamayavamsho, amsha means fragmented or part. Mamayavamsho jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana. We're eternally fragmented parts. It's not that we're fragmented now and then later we'll become one with God. No, eternally fragmented. He says sanatana. It's the Mayavadi's problem is that they take one side, only the abheda or the advaita part. That's all they stress. But they disregard the dvaita parts as a lower truth. But Vaishnavas accept both. We know that we're also Krishna, but we know that we're devotees of Krishna. We'll never be the same person. We're always individually persons. So then once one realizes that, then he surrenders to God because he realizes himself as a devotee, that he's not God himself. The Mayavadi philosophy is just another illusion that I want to be God.
Krishna is infinite,
right.
And I am infinitesimal. Right. That's an important thing. We're not different in the sense qualitatively, but quantitatively. He's big and we're very small.
It seems so obvious. It seems like people would just understand that like that, but somehow there's these blocks, right? I mean, just think about the Earth planet, right? These huge mountains, these rolling hills, gigantic trees, and things like that. We can hardly pick up, a table or something. But all these things are just floating in space, right? It's in the middle of, like, nowhere. Space. How is it floating? Of course, Krishna explains that in the Gita. Gama Vishya Chagutani Daryam Yaham Ujasa. All these planets are staying in orbit by my ojas and my energy. But the materialists, they don't even think about it, really. You know? Oh, it's just orbit, you know, because of the sun's mass, or whatever, I can't remember. But it seems so obvious that God would be, that we're not God, but anyways, that's why it's explained that all living entities in the material world are crazy to some extent, because even the most simple thing you can't understand. Yes, bro.
Well, about the other reasons that these other rational schools we cannot accept Vajradharas, this Radha Krishna.
What are the reasons that other Vaishnava traditions can't accept Mahaprabhu's Radha Krishna? I honestly don't actually know why. Perhaps some of our devotee scholars or learned. I don't know why the reasons actually. Yes, ma'am.
Well, of course you can imagine there's like thousands and thousands of years of tradition. It's just like in the Christian tradition, because we don't want to debate about who Jesus is if he's still alive now. But someone comes along and says, I'm him. You know, who's going to believe? It's a big challenge. And there's a discussion in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about that. Remember that the Lord Krishna was speaking with the Tathagatas,
Venkatabhata Goswami.
And they were discussing this, you know, right. About, well, the superiority, first of all, Srimati Radharani to Lakshmi Devi. Mm-hmm. So it's natural that if you've been in a tradition for thousands of years and someone comes along, people say he's God, that it's going to take a while before people can process it. But it's unfortunate for them if they have to wait too long.
That's unfortunate. So actually I wanted to mention something about that. Venkatabhata Goswami, he was the father of Gopalabhata Goswami. And he was in charge of the Sri Ranganath temple in Sri Ranga, South India. And in South India, of course, they worship Vishnu, Lakshmi Narayan. And so he was in charge of the whole Sri Rangam temple. It's a massive complex, massive endeavor. So you can imagine how much faith he had in Lakshmi Narayan. But Mahaprabhu, when during his tour of India, he went to South India and he stayed at their house for Chaturmasya. Chaturmasya is 4 months. Sannyasis don't travel during the Chaturmasya. They stay in one place and perform austerities. So he stayed with Venkatabhata Goswami and Gopalabhata Goswami for 4 months. Right? And every day they would discuss, who is supreme, Radha Krishna or Lakshmi Narayan? And I can't remember the contents of their discussion. But Venkatabhata Goswami came to the conclusion, yes, actually you're right. Radha and Krishna are supreme. Lakshmi Narayan are their expansions. It's true. This is the head pujari of the Sri Ranganath temple. So this is something monumental. This means something that he accepted like that.
Right? Well, the turning point was when Lord Chaitanya said to him that Lakshmi performed austerities to enter the Rasa dance. And then Venkata said, well, that's normal because, you know, Krishna is the playful aspect of Vishnu. Mm-hmm. Lord Chaitanya said, but she couldn't get in.
Yes.
And then, why couldn't she get in? And then Venkatabhata said, actually, you're the supreme personality of Godhead, and I'm just a little tiny soul, and my mind is easily agitated. Maybe you can explain it to me. And then she didn't enter because she wasn't able to give up her mood of service. Her mood of service was to serve the Lord with great opulence. And of course, that's her eternal rasa, so to put that aside was not possible for her. And then Venkatabhata accepted that actually Radha and Krishna are superior to him.
Right. Any other comments or questions?
But this Bhagavad Gita is the what are the like, possible reasons why people actually give up studying Bhagavad Gita and they turn to Rasa Shastras, is that only like because we consider Bhagavad Gita as elementary, or can be also the other reasons and some of them are justified actually.
I'm sure there could be many reasons spoken about, but essentially it's pride or There's no patience in patience. Lust, perhaps. It's hard. You can't just jump to these things. And first of all, you know, Brahma. Situate yourself on the Brahma-Bhuta platform. Right? Then you can understand the pastimes of Radha Krishna. Otherwise, it's almost pointless. It's almost fruitless to try and understand these things. Srila Prabhupada gives it to us, actually. Srila Prabhupada has given us everything. He gave us the Nectar of Devotion. If you read the Nectar of Devotion, there's so many things in there which are like, blows your mind away. You can't understand. I won't understand for millions of lifetimes. So everything is there. Prabhupada has given us everything. So there's no need to go anywhere else. It's actually because of an offensive mentality, because of material desire. It's a harsh way to explain it, but that's the case. We'll take one more comment. Shri Krishna Chaitanya.
Yeah, you say that actually the process became quite more easy, chanting 16 rounds and following the 4 principles. But actually, Prabhupada is many times learning that you have to be fully engaged and not take it so cheaply. And I see when Prabhupada's memory is Chutakirti actually, and Prabhupada making a kind of joke, he was thinking on his beat, and he finished his last one. And you look at Chutakirti and you say, okay, I finished my 16 year old, now I can do whatever I like. But actually, it's not exactly like this.
Yeah.
That you have to be engaged, you have to preach, and you have to give Krishna consciousness to God. Right. This is a very important point that Prabhupada made. And you talk also many times about Sampradaya in the class, and you are from the Brahma Sampradaya. And the first instruction that Brahma gave is to do austerity. So we have to follow
interesting
the Sampradaya. So we should work a lot to
Of course, you're doing that yourself. You're distributing prasadam in all the jam that we from the bakery, all this delicious jam. He's the cook. He's distributing Mahaprabhu's mercy like that. So he has the right to speak about that. But yes, it's very true. The 16 rounds is a minimum. The Prabhupada always made that point. It's a minimum 16 rounds. It's not that only chant 16 rounds and no more than that, but we're encouraged to chant more and more and more. It's like Mother Malati, when she was very sick, very ill at one point, and she was bedridden. And Srila Prabhupada came to see her, and so she apologized to Srila Prabhupada, said, Srila Prabhupada, I'm so sorry. I'm bedridden. All I can do is chant all day. I can't do any service. I can't do any preaching. Prabhupada said, no, this is the point. You should come to the point where you can chant all day long. Right? All the service I've given you, because you Western boys and girls are so restless, right? You have to do so much activity. But if you could chant all day long, this is the purpose. This is the whole point of it. This is the goal. A very good point. Thank you very much for listening. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki.